He was just a man. Faced the same emotions. I'm sure had the same cares. I'm sure that if you had lost someone, you'd be sitting there thinking just like Job and be probably crying and facing these emotions just like Job did. But God considered him. God entrusted him with some things. God tested him. But Job was in his thoughts. I like how the Bible talks about in Psalms that his thoughts towards us are even more than the numbers in the sand. Listen, have you ever got a handful of dirt or a handful of sand and looked at every single grain and just started counting what was in your hand? Think about all that's on the coast and in the not even just on the coast, on the beach there. Think about what's even in the water underneath the sand that's there. All of that combined, the Bible says God's thoughts towards us are greater than even that. That's something special. That's a personal God. That's a loving God to sit there and think about you and I. You look at the fact that Jesus was there in the garden and praying for us, and He prays for you and I. He sits there and thinks about us and loves us. And listen, we hear this world talk about a mean and arbitrary God, but listen, He's a just and holy God, and that's why they think He's mean. But He's a loving God. He's a caring God as well, the one who told us to cast all our care upon Him. He thinks about you and I. He dwells in the fact of thinking about you and I. Whenever we were lost, He sits there and wants us to be saved. Whenever we're far away from Him, He wants to draw us near to Him. He wants us to be near to Him. He wants to think about us, wants to have that relationship with us. But why was He able to consider Job? Why? What was so different in Job's life among others? Why don't you look at the verse number 1. It says, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and escheweth evil. Job was a saved man. Job had a relationship with God. Job sat there not because of his works, not because of who he was, not because of his great possessions, not because of his testimony in the land. You say, well, what do you mean so great a testimony in the land? The Bible goes on and talks about that he had a testimony in the land. Even his three friends were coming and understood some of the things that of who he was, but he had a testimony. And so not in his position, not in his possessions, but he was saved because of the person that he had trusted in. And that was the Lord Himself. Listen, this morning, if you're coming here and you're lost, and listen, it's not about you coming to church. It's not about you of your possessions and of your position. It's not about you paying to try to earn favor to God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood that covers our sins. It's not about what we can do, but it's about what's already been done through Him. Without the shed blood, there's no remission of sins. I've gone around and some believe today that repentance is not important anymore, that the blood is not important anymore, but my Bible teaches that those things are still important. All throughout the Old Testament, you see the shedding of blood. All throughout the Old Testament, you see the picture that it represents of covering the sins. And listen, I'm telling you right now, it's through Christ on the cross of Calvary that shed His blood to be able to cover our sins. Job was a saved man. God could consider him because he was a saved man. He could entrust Job with maybe some testing here, allowing Satan to take some things away from him, allowing Satan to do these things. And don't think that Satan overrided God. Don't think that Satan overrides God in our life. God allows some things to happen and open the door there for Satan to test him and to try him, because he wanted, in a sense, to brag about him, because Satan sat there and said, listen, if you take this hedge out from him, he's going to curse you. And God allowed those things to happen. And after those things happened, Job said, I'm going to worship you. These things weren't mine to begin with. I'm going to worship you. And that's hard to lose. I don't know what it's like. Maybe some of you do. I don't know what it's like to lose a child. I don't know what it's like to be in a predicament like Job was. But I would hope and I pray each and every day, God, I pray that you would give me the grace. I pray that you would help me in the strength that if those times do come, that I would still be able to worship you and I'd still have the fellowship like I should. But it says that man. You know, the word that may seem so insignificant, but I like the fact that it's very personal. It's not just any man that was upright and perfect, the one that excused the evil. The Bible says it was that man. It's personal. Listen, it's not a personal relationship if somebody tells you that you're saved. It's not a personal relationship if you sat there and think that you prayed this prayer and that you're saved. No, it's a personal relationship because of understanding who saved you, who sat there and saved you from yourself, saved you from your sins. The Bible says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I like that. He knows us. And the Bible talks about that. He knows us by name. You know what Satan knows us by? If you look in and talking about tribulation and all that, he knows us. He knows those that are lost and going through the tribulation. He knows them by a number. But you know what God knows us by? He knows us by a name. He knows us personally. And that's a personal relationship that Job had here. And God could consider him because he was a saved man. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you would please. And I know this verse is very familiar, but trust me, if I go to try to quote it, memorize it, could be an up here, I'll probably butcher it. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, talking about the saved man, the new man. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." A new creature. Not just turning over a leaf. No, the Bible says a new creature. Old things are passed away. What? Things that I used to do, things that were sinful, all those things that I had a desire that was not godly, that was all sinful, that those things are passed away, all things are become new. My vision, my goals, my dreams, my decisions, all those things are new, are different. Why? Because I have Him living inside of me. Job had a relationship with God, and because of that relationship, he was able to live a perfect life, live an upright life, lived a life that the Bible says that escheweth evil, and lived a life that where God could look down and say, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And I would hope I would live a life, and you would live a life, where God will look down and say, "Hast thou considered my servant, Brother Rowley? Hast thou considered my servant, Pastor Humphrey? Pastor, hast thou considered my servant?" And then just put your name there. Ask yourself that question. Could God consider me? Could God look down and see one who is just, see one who that He can call His servant? And I want to look at that next. He could consider him because he was His servant. Verse number 8, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Job was not serving any other. Job was not serving anybody else except God. To the point that he wanted to make sure everything was correct, make sure everything was right. Even when he believed his children were sinning and doing those things that were wrong, the Bible says there in verse number 5 that he would sit there and have these sacrifices for them. And Job did this continually. Job would sit there and serve God to his best that he could. Why? Because of the one who saved him. Job was God's personal servant. Bible says in Matthew 6:24 that you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. You cannot go out in this world on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and then think that we can come into church and start serving God. We can't do that, and God doesn't want that. God wants our full attention. God wants our whole heart. And Job served God to the point that God had a testimony in his life to sit there and say that there is none like him in the earth. We ought to try to live and be in his service and serve God to the point that there is none like anybody like us. Not that we want to lift ourselves up more than others, but we ought to be seen in this world as peculiar, as different, as a changed man, as a changed lady, the one that would show Christ in our life. If we're not doing that, if we're not serving God the way we ought to, how are they going to see that light? How are they going to be able to see the gospel living through us? The Bible says to let your light so shine before men. And then it didn't stop there. It's not that they can see us and that we can just brag about ourselves. No, it's not to do that. We kind of stop there a lot of times of that verse, but the Bible talks about the reasoning behind that is to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Listen, we need to be shining the light to this world, and we need to be serving God and to our best ability. But Job must have been the greatest servant of all at this time, if there was none like him in the earth. What a testimony Job had, and God can consider him because Job did things the right with the right attitude. Have you ever heard that you can do something right and it not be right? Some are yes and some are saying, "I don't understand that." I used to have a chore whenever growing up and everything that I hated. My mom and dad would tell me to take out the trash. I hated it. I would do the dishes. I would do anything else, clean my room. Whatever. I hated taking out the trash. But the moment they told me, I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. With a smile on my face, carrying out the trash. And then as soon as I got out those doors, I'm stomping all the way out there, griping about it. This stinks. This, sometimes the bag would rip open. I hated it. And I would slam it in the trash can outside, close the lid, and start walking back in. And as soon as I got to that door, I would put that smile back on my face. I would come in and say, I did what you told me to do. Good job. Good job, Corey. Well done. I had the right action. I didn't have the right attitude. In our service to the Lord, we ought to not only be cautious and consider just the right action, but how we do those things. We need to make sure that it's also with the right attitude as well. He said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. There's a desire there. There's a love there in serving God. Our love and our motivation of serving Him ought to be driven from a love for Him. Ought to be driven the fact that we want to serve Him. And talking about all the things that He has done for me, I want to be able to do as much as I can for Him. Listen, I owe Him my life, and this is not my body. The Bible says that it's bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be able to give back to Him. He has given His all for me. He's given His life. He came down to earth and faced all those sufferings and everything for me. I want to be able to maybe even face some things for Him. Job said, I want to do these things for Him. And God looked down upon him and said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Are we willing to suffer some things? Are we willing to go through some things? We say, you know, we hear these testimonies and stories that, you know, I broke down on the side of the road and God just so happened to have somebody come along and change the tire for me. Or I thought, I didn't know where the next rent payment was going to come in at. And somebody from the church was able to bless me with a rent payment. I've heard these stories many times and said myself even many times, I want to be able to have a story just like that. The main thing is that we ought to be willing to suffer some things to have a story like that. Are we willing to serve Him even no matter what comes and to see God work in it all? Because at the very end, even after facing some things with his friends, so-called friends, and even Job started not thinking right, at the very end of it all, Job was blessed even more than what he had before. He was considered because of these things. Listen, even in his position, he didn't allow that to deter him from serving God to his best. Even the things that he had, even in his position of leadership there among his servants. Listen, a lot of times Christians don't sit there and serve God to their best because they're wanting to kind of, in a sense, go up the rankings at their job and come to find out they have a position that takes them away from church or takes them away from studying the Word of God. And listen, that ought not to be. Job sat there, and even with his possessions and his position, he still served God to his best. He still wanted to make sure that his fellowship with God was to the point to where God could look down upon him. John 12:26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We ought to have a desire to be wherever God's at. Follow His path. Follow His footsteps. Follow exactly where God wants us to be in the will of God. And so not only was he saved, and not only was he a man that served God, but he was also a separated man. Look at verse number 1, and it's mentioned in verse number 8, also in chapter number 2. He was one that feared God and eschewed evil. If anything even looked wrong, Job said, I don't want any part of it. If anything even came close to that might have been sinful, anything that would have hindered his fellowship with God, I don't have no part of it. The Bible says in Thessalonians that we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. It's not that we're to abstain from the evil itself, but the Bible says to abstain from the appearance of evil. You know, there's some things in my life that in order to not be a stumbling block or in order to not to hinder somebody else that maybe not be wrong or whatever, but if it looks evil to somebody else or it might hinder somebody else, then listen, I want to abstain from that because it just appears to be evil. You say, well, what do you mean by that? My uncle was gardening one time, and I was trying to get some tips from him in gardening. And I told him, I said, I've got an ant problem in my garden, and I don't know how to get rid of the ant problem. What advice do you have for me? He said, get you some tobacco juice, mix it up, and either spit it out there or pour it out there, and it'll get rid of the ants. And I told him, you're all laughing. I told him, I said, I can't do that. He said, well, why not? I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, one, that's wrong. Two, that's going to hurt my testimony. If I just go to a store and that's all I'm going to do is just use it for that, I'm not going to do that. Well, God knows your heart. Yeah, he does. He knows my heart. But I also know what the Word of God says, and I don't want to go into store. And so, at the time, I was a youth leader, and I don't want to go into store and have one of our youth come in and say, man, I didn't know Brother Riley chewed tobacco. I didn't know Brother Riley smoked. He probably drinks too. And even if I try to explain it to him, they may not believe that. I'm not going to do that. Well, God knows your heart. You know, sometimes maybe that's the fact. God does know your heart, and maybe that's the reason why he wouldn't consider us, because he does know our heart. But listen, there's some things in our life that it's not that important, as long as we make sure that we are separated unto him. It's not separated to him. It's not separated. Listen, it's separated unto him. What's his standard? What's he want out of my life? It's not by my standard. What I believe is the things in my life ought to be separated from. No, it's by his standard. It's according to the Word of God that I need to follow and to make sure that I'm living right. It's by what he says. And that's exactly what Job did. Escheweth evil. He wanted to make sure to do it God's way and make sure that he was staying away from some things that were evil in his life. You say, well, Brother Riley, how do I stay away from evil? Well, look to the Word of God. Look to the Word of God and understand how to stay away from evil. First of all, it's a choice. It's a choice that we have to make to stay away from evil. He's not going to force that. He's not going to push us and move us over here to get us out of the way of evil. No, we have to make that choice and say, I'm not going. God, I need your strength. I don't want any part of that. Proverbs chapter 4, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. It also says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Listen, there's some things that we need to make a decision of. Maybe there's some things in our life that are hindering our fellowship with God. Maybe there's some things that could be evil. What does the Bible say? Put them away. Turn from it. Get away from it. Get as far away from it as you can. Avoid it. Don't even come near it. Don't even, in a sense, dab your little toe in the water to test it out. No, avoid it. What did Joseph do? Whenever he was faced with something that could be very sinful with Potiphar's wife, he sat there and ran from it. He didn't sit there and dabble in it. He didn't sit there and play around with it. No, he sat there and ran from it as fast as he could and left that garment behind. Now, he did get falsely accused, but listen, I would rather be falsely accused for the Lord's sake than to sit there and be looked at as someone that is sinful and wicked. He sat there and ran from it. The Bible also says to depart from it, remove it. And that's the problem sometimes with evil. That's the problem sometimes in our life, in our Christian life. We don't want to remove it. We don't want to depart from it. We want to keep it there. We want to, in a sense, like we talked about a while ago, about serving the two masters. We want to kind of keep it over in our pocket and just kind of bring it out every now and then and dabble in it and put it back in our pocket whenever we're around in church or around, we think, around God where God can't see us. But what else was it, the fact, and the very last thing here I want us to look at, why Job could be considered? Well, the second time here in chapter number 2, if you'll look over there in our passage in chapter number 2, after what he faced and after he lost things that were very dear and close to him, God still said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Job was steadfast. Not only was he saved, not only was he God's servant, he was a separated man, but he was steadfast in what he did. He still, as the Bible says, he still held his integrity. His wife looked at him and said, won't you just curse God and die? How are you able to do this? How are you able to hold your integrity? Job was able to hold his integrity. Job was able to still be faithful unto God. In verse number 3, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, after all the things that he faced, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Have you noticed this? After what he faced, God had the same testimony, exact words for Job after what all he faced. Not changed. We mentioned a while ago, he's not changed, man. He didn't gripe about anything, and God could still look down upon his life after what he faced and what he struggled with and said, he's still just, he's still upright, he's still one that escheweth evil. Hast thou considered my servant? He still serves me even after all he faced. I've known of people that have faced some things. They stopped serving God because they got aggravated at God. They got mad at God. I can think of one individual right now. He wasn't saved and wasn't going to church, but he would sit there and got mad at God because his son died and didn't think it was fair. Got mad at God and angry at God. But you know, and I got to thinking about this, it's not God's fault that death came. It's man's fault. Death came because of man, because of man's sinful nature. And a lot of times people want to blame God for their struggles and their valleys of going through some things. No, it's a time for us to draw nearer to Him. It's a time for, as the Bible talks about here, for Job, that he still held his integrity. And his testimony was no different even after all the things that he faced. Job was still in God's thought, the first man in God's thought process even after all he faced. Can you still be considered by God no matter what you're going through? But it seems like I've been going through this, just seems like I've been going through this for a year or two. Okay. We mentioned that Wednesday night. Maybe God's wanting you to go through some things. Maybe God's trying to draw you near to Him. There's a purpose and a plan for all of it. And maybe God's trying to show us something. Are we going to remain faithful to Him? Are we going to remain to that fellowship with Him? Are we going to still, even going through those times, a right attitude, a right spirit about ourselves? Are we going to be able to live a life where God can look it down in that year or two struggle and say, you know what? I can still consider you. I can still look down upon you, and you're still a faithful lady. You're still a faithful man. That ought to be our heart's desire, to still be that one that He could look down upon and consider. Bible says in James 4:8. Let's turn there. James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Things that we face, things that we could face, and we may face some things. But would God be able to look down and entrust us with some things that we may face? James chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Do you understand how that's worded? It didn't say God will draw nigh to you first. It says draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. We need to have a desire to be close to Him. God's not going to force us. Yes, He's trying to draw us to Him, draw sinners to Him. But listen, it's a decision that we have to make to stay close to Him. It's a decision to humble ourselves. It says here, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How can we cleanse ourselves? Through the very Word of God. How can we grow? Through the very Word of God. How can we mature? How can we face these struggles? How can we hold our integrity? How can we have the right spirit? All the answers are found right here through the Word of God. Job could be considered. Job's character was the same during the good times, but also during the good times, but he had good character even during the bad times. A Christian life ought not to be having the good character on the mountaintop, but we ought to have a good character even down in the valley. There's a song that I recall. It says, even in the valley, God is still good. God's right there. There's some things, there's some testings. You know, a lot of times Israel was going through a valley or going through the wilderness. The Bible says that he led them through the wilderness. There was a purpose of leading them through the wilderness to test them, to sit there and mature them, in a sense, and going through an easy route. Because sometimes an easy way gets us away from God. We need to go through some trials. We need to go through some fiery trials, some burning to be able to get the dross, to be able to get some of those things out of our life. But we also need to still hold our integrity, to still have the character that we need. Job was protected from Satan whenever he was living the life that he should have. You say, well, what do you mean he was protected? It didn't seem like he was protected. No, Satan had to basically get permission before all of that happened. There was, if you'll notice, towards the middle of chapter number 1, it says that he had a hedge around about Job. There was protection. There's some things in our life that I believe that we cause upon ourselves, some struggles upon ourselves, is because of the fact that we're not living that perfect life. We're not living a life that escheweth evil. We're not living the life that God wants us to live. We don't have that hedge that we could have because of it. Job was being protected, I believe, because of the life that he was living, because of the, in a sense, the protection is a blessing unto him because of all the things that he was doing and having a fellowship with God. The question is, are we close enough to God to where we can have that protection? Closer we are to God, the more protection that we'll have. You say, well, is there infinity protection? Oh, yeah, there's never-ending protection. But when we start getting kind of away from it, that protection seems to kind of go away to the point that we're out on our own. Look at the prodigal son. He was out on his own. Listen, we need to get close to him. But our heart's desire ought to be the fact of, could God consider us? I ask you this morning, the Sunday school hour, could God consider you? Could God look down upon your life? No matter if you're facing something right now, no matter if you think, you know what, it's going pretty good right now. Could God look down upon your life and say, you're the one that is just, you're one that's separated unto me. And I hope importantly this morning that you are saved and that you have a relationship with him, because there's no protection. There's no protection there. Yes, he reigns on the just and on the unjust, but oh, what a difference it makes in being saved. Oh, the blessings from him. Oh, the relationship, the fellowship with God, the intimate relationship, the understanding of the Word of God, like any other time. Hast thou considered my servant Job? Put your name there and wonder, could God consider me? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you for this time. Thank you for your Word. And God, Lord, we would ask that you would help us to live a life to where you could look down upon us and entrust us with things. And God, Lord, I pray that during times of struggle or even testing, Lord, that we would please you in it, to be able to glorify you and give you the credit in it all. Understanding that we don't have the strength, we don't have the power ourselves to face these things. And God, with the blessings of life, with victories in our life, Lord, help us to always give you credit where it's due, Lord, that you're the one who gave us the ability. You enabled us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our life. Just thank you so much for your Word, the instruction it has, the reproof, correction, Lord. Thank you so much for that, not leaving us here without the instruction. Father, help us this hour, this next hour coming, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, be with us throughout the whole day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.